Do you think Jesus understands pain? Many of us are going through pain right now. I'll put it in capital letters. You have back pain. Your wrist is hurting. Head is hurting. Do you think Jesus understands pain? What did they do to him? They not only crucified him, but before they crucified him, they took a crown of thorns and they pushed it down on his head. So if you ever had migraine and you say, God, please, you understand my pain. Of course he does. Imagine those jagged thorns going into your temple. I would say that would cause migraine. Do you think Jesus understands back pain? You've been up all night because you cannot lay down. Those spasms come. Well, he was whipped. Do you think he understands what it means to hurt, to bleed? Of course, he was nailed to the cross and hung there.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Likeness by Pastor Abhinan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
We're in our series called Mind Reset from Philippians chapter 2, and this morning's message is called Likeness, that Jesus became like us. And that should bring us comfort, that should bring us assurance that he will not only sympathize with us, but he'll also give us what we need. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let's all stand once again for the reading of God's word. You should have this passage sort of memorized by now. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." And you know how we translate that. Who did not consider equality with God something to grasp at, something to snatch. He is equal and yet he is distinct from the Father and from the Holy Spirit. And then verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. The word is really he emptied his Godhead into the person, the form that he took, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Once again, we're going to focus on that. What does that mean that Jesus came in the likeness of men? He became like us. He became human. What does that mean? We touched on it a little bit last weekend, but here we go further. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God, meaning God the Father, has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, the Son, every knee should bow of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Means he is God. He is the Master, to the glory of God the Father. Question again that you need to ponder. Do you feel that people don't understand you? Do you feel that your situation is so unique that no one gets you, no one truly knows? And you may be right. None of us may understand where you're coming from, but Jesus does. And today's message is to help you realize how much he does understand, how much he does get what you're going through. And the question is, are you looking to him? You see, sometimes we turn to people to understand. Sometimes you even may come to me and say, Pastor, I want you to understand. And I may even say to you, I get it, I understand. Many times I don't. But he does. And do you know him? You say, how do I know him? You know him when you ask him to come into your life. When you ask him to forgive you of your sins. When you ask him to save you and become your Savior and your King. Which means this. Asking Jesus to save you is also telling Jesus that you will follow him the rest of your life and do whatever he tells you to do. Are you willing to do that? And this morning, as I pray for God's blessing on this message, you pray, if you've never done that, you pray and ask Jesus to save you. It's happening in all our services, by the way. Today, we're going to have three baptisms. We had one last night. We're going to have two this morning. So this weekend, three baptisms. People are getting saved. Are you saved? Now, as you know, and for the benefit of those who are here for the first time, we're going through our series on Philippians chapter 2 called Mind Reset. The whole purpose of the series is to have the mind of Christ. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Means as believers, we are to, among us, be like Christ. Now, when we say that, sometimes people go, man, that's easier said than done. To be like Christ, that's not easy. But you see, Christ also became like us. But Paul says in Philippians 2:7 that he came in the likeness of men. So he's not somewhere up there expecting us to become like him, but he became like us so we can become like him. In the likeness of men. In the likeness of human being. Now, when I say those words, many times there are people who will say things like, man, come on, Jesus was God. I am just a human being. Jesus was perfect. I'm not perfect. Jesus did not have a sin nature. He could not sin even if he tried. But I am a sinner. I am a sinner by nature, by birth. How can you expect me to be like Jesus? How can I be like someone who is perfect? Impossible. But this morning, as we walk through this message, I pray that you will understand who Jesus really is and how much he does understand. So let's look at it for a few moments. And by the way, we will go deep for the first few moments, and then hopefully it will make sense. What do we mean when we say Jesus was fully human and like us? But the thing that I want us to understand was Jesus was essentially human, just like Adam. He was essentially human, just like Adam before Adam sinned. Now, here's the question for you. Was Adam a full-fledged human being before he sinned? Of course he was. Before he fell into sin, yes, he was. How do you know that? Listen to Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Which means this, before Adam ate that fruit, yes, he was a human being. Essentially human. Now, did Adam have a sinful nature? No, he didn't. Why didn't he have a sinful nature? Where do we get our sinful nature? We get it from our fathers and mothers. We're born into this world through the combination of earthly fathers, earthly mothers, and that sin nature is passed down. Did Adam have an earthly father? No, he didn't. Who was his father? Think about it. God was. If you read Luke chapter 3:38, where it gives the genealogy of Jesus Christ, what does it say? The son of Adam, the son of God. Adam was God's created son. But who is Jesus? Jesus is also essentially like Adam. He is essentially human, but he is not God's created son. He is God's eternal, uncreated, only begotten son with a capital S. He said, can we really compare Adam and Jesus like that? Well, listen to what Paul says in Romans 5:14. He says, Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Adam was a type of Jesus. You see, both Jesus and Adams are the first of their race. Both Adam and Jesus were internally innocent, and both of them were externally tempted. Adam was tempted, when Eve took that fruit from Satan's temptation, she took it, gave it to Adam. Adam ate that fruit. And what's the result? What happened to Adam? He sinned, and the whole human race fell into sin. In fact, the whole creation fell because of that sin. Externally tempted. How about Jesus? Again, Jesus was internally innocent, but he was also externally tempted. Who tempted him? Satan himself. For how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine that? Someone coming to you who is the king of evil and sticking with you for 40 days, 40 nights, harassing you in every way he could. But unlike Adam, what did Jesus do? Every step of the way, he told him, no, no, no. And he used the word of God. Where Adam failed miserably, Jesus was triumphant. By the way, Jesus was much more than just Adam, because unlike Adam, who was just essentially human, Jesus was also fully God, and hence he could not sin. Now, if Jesus is more like Adam than us, then here's the question: how are we like Jesus? You see, while Adam and Jesus were essentially human, they never had an internal sin nature. We are what you would call commonly human. What does that mean, commonly human? I think I explained to you just a few moments ago. We are the product of the union of our earthly fathers and earthly mothers, and we carry the sin nature in us. What does David say in Psalm 51, verse 5? What does he say? He says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." What David is not saying is that conception is sin. What he's saying is, from the moment I was conceived in my mother's womb, there was the sin nature in me. And does Paul agree with David? Of course he does. In Ephesians 2:3, he says, "By nature we are children of wrath." It means God's wrath is resting upon us. So there is a difference between our temptation and Jesus' temptation. Jesus, just like Adam, was tempted from outside. How are we tempted? Y'all can answer. We're tempted both from outside and inside. We are internally corrupt, and then we have the world and the devil coming at us. The flesh is also sinful. Nonetheless, what I want us to understand is this: propensity to temptation and sin does not make us human. Being created in the image of God with a body and a mind makes us human. So yes, even though Jesus was only tempted from the outside, just like Adam, and we are tempted both inside and outside, does not mean anything, because ultimately both we are human. He became like us. Now, someone might still say, you know, I get it. Jesus, just like Adam, essentially human. We are commonly human. I get it, but does not that mean that Jesus has more advantage over us? Doesn't that mean that Jesus does not have the problem of a sin nature? So how can he truly understand what we're going through? Good question. Have you ever wondered why Jesus was born? Have you ever wondered why Jesus spent 9 months in his mother's womb? Folks, if only reason Jesus came was to die on the cross, why didn't Jesus just drop out of the heavens, a full-grown man, and say, "Hey, I'm here, where's the cross?" Why didn't he just come, even better, already crucified from heaven? Well, you say, man, that's just too much. That would jar people too much. How about this? Why don't you let Jesus be born of Mary, and then as Mary puts the little baby Jesus in the manger to sleep, next morning he grows up a full-grown human being. Overnight, he went from 0 to 30. And then next day he says, Mom, thank you so much. I'm headed to the cross because I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. For one, she'll have a heart attack. Why didn't Jesus just immediately down the cross? Why did he have to go through all this? He did it because he knew some of us will ask that question, why is there that difference? You see, living in this world for those 30-some years, he understands what we go through. He gets it. He may not have the sin nature, but living amongst us, he gets it. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. What does that mean, all things he had to be made? Not just that he was made a human being with a human body, human mind, but he also lived for the 30 years to be made like us. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So here's the question. Are you hungry? You say, man, you have no idea what it means to be broke. You have no idea when you don't have money to buy groceries. You have no idea when your stomach starts rumbling and you don't know where your next meal is coming from. Here's my question. Do you think Jesus understands? How does he understand? For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. Jesus understands hunger because, yes, he was hungry. How about, does Jesus understand thirst? Yeah, he does. From the cross, as he was hanging on the cross, nailed, the sun beating down on him, he said what? I thirst. Was Jesus ever tired? Did you know in Mark chapter 6, 31, he told the disciples to come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while? Why did he say that? For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. He knows what it means to be tired. Does he know what it means to be belittled? Did anybody ever talk down to Jesus? All the time. Think about John chapter 1, when Philip came to Nathanael and said, Nathanael, we found him of Moses, whom Moses talked about in the prophets. He is here. He is Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth. And what was Nathanael's response? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know what he was saying? Oh, that worthless place. Now, I believe Jesus was in his humanity. No sin, but in his humanity. He said, I love the way he responded. He said, Nathanael, before you came here, you were sitting under that tree. I saw you, you moron. I mean, I think that's what he felt like saying. He just demonstrated, I am God. Don't you forget. And Nathanael's response is like, oh. Are you homeless? Have you ever been in a situation when you were homeless? Praise God, I've never had to be homeless. God has been too good to me. But maybe you've been in a situation that if you don't pay the next bill or the next rent or the next mortgage, there is a good chance you may not have your house. Do you think Jesus understands? Of course he does. When someone came to him and said, hey, look, I'm going to follow you. Now, all your ministry, Jesus said in Luke 9:57, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Can you imagine that? The one who made the entire universe has nowhere to sleep tonight. Can you imagine the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, where are we going to sleep tonight? Guys, I don't know. Why don't y'all go find some homes and see if you can sleep? Where are you going to sleep? I'm just going to take a walk. He understands what it means to sleep on a park bench. He understands what it means to sleep on the sidewalk. Do you ever get angry? Do you think God understands? Jesus understands anger? I should have put that up on top. Of course he understands anger. You know, there was a situation when the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus. What they did was they brought a man who had a withered arm. Now, we don't know how his arm was withered. Maybe he fell and his arm, you know, got paralyzed. Maybe it was polio. Who knows what had happened to him? But his arm was withered. So you can imagine going through life not being able to function like everybody else. What these people did, these Pharisees did, they got this man up on Sabbath morning and told him, we want you to come to the synagogue. And I can imagine this man saying, oh, why, are we having an early meal? No, we want you to come sit in the front. Sit in the front? For what? No, just sit there. Don't you worry about anything. Just sit there. And I can imagine the man kind of trying to cover up his arm because he's embarrassed. He said, no, leave your arm open. What they were doing was they were going to see how Jesus would react to this man's predicament. And would he or would he not heal him on the Sabbath? The Bible said Jesus was angry. He looked around with anger. But you know why he was angry? He was saying, how dare you do this to this man? You have something against me. That's one thing. But you just took this poor man and used him to make a point. But he healed him. He understands when we get angry. Folks, there's times we get angry. We get angry because someone cut us off on the road. We get angry over silly stuff. And then we try to justify it with the Bible. No, but there is a time to get angry over injustice. There is a time to get angry over immorality. Jesus was angry. He understands. Do you think Jesus understands family problems? Did Jesus have family issues? Yeah, he did. Did you know the time where the Bible talks about his own brothers did not believe in him? James and Jude probably did not believe in him. And listen to what they said to him. They said to him, depart from here and go into Judea that your disciples also may see the works that you're doing. Sounds like they're being nice to him. Why don't you go out there and do more miracles? For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Sounds like they're saying, Jesus, you just need to go big time. But the very next verse says, for even his brothers did not believe in him. They were being sarcastic to him. By the way, some of y'all saying, you know, yeah, well, you know, that's true, but does Jesus understand aging parents and how you have to take care of them and the things you have to do? Do you think Jesus understands aging parents? How do we know that? While he's hanging on the cross, he sees his mother and the disciple whom he loves standing by. What does he say to his mother? Mother, there's your son. Disciple, there's your mother. And from that day, John took Jesus' earthly mother home with her. Folks, there's nothing that you have been through or are going through right now that Jesus doesn't understand. Does he understand what it means to be disappointed? Of course he does. What does the Bible say in John chapter 6 and verse 66? It says, from that point on, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Can you imagine that? Jesus coming back from a walk, or he went to pray and comes back and half of them are missing. Where do they go? They just left. Have people left you? Have you ever felt lonely? You say, what does that mean, lonely? Well, you can also feel betrayed. You were hoping your friends would be there for you. I see so many of y'all sharing things on Facebook. If you can have a friend, if you can have someone who sticks with you, if you have someone who doesn't forsake you, do you think Jesus understands what it means to be forsaken? His own disciple betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And what did the rest of them do? The Bible says they fled. Can you imagine that? Jesus is alone, and every one of them is, as Adrian Rogers says, they're jumping as rats jumping off of a sinking ship. He understands that. Do you think Jesus understands being falsely accused? Of course he understands that, because as he stood before Pilate, as he stood before Herod, he was falsely accused. Do you think Jesus understands pain? Many of us are going through pain right now. I'll put it in capital letters. You have back pain. Your wrist is hurting. Your head is hurting. Do you think Jesus understands pain? What did they do to him? They not only crucified him, but before they crucified him, they took a crown of thorns and they pushed it down on his head. So if you ever had migraine and you say, God, please, you understand my pain. Of course he does. Imagine those jagged thorns going into your temple. I would say that would cause migraine. Do you think Jesus understands back pain? You've been up all night because you cannot lay down. Those spasms come. Well, he was whipped. Do you think he understands what it means to hurt, to bleed? Of course, he was nailed to the cross and he hung there for 3 hours. Folks, what I'm saying to you here today is there's nothing you and I go through that he does not understand. You say, well, wait, Pastor. You're getting ahead of yourself there. Does Jesus understand divorce? I mean, he never married. Does Jesus understand adultery? He never had a family. Are you sure? We go to the Old Testament. Israel was the wife of God. Read the book of Hosea. What does God say? You have cheated on me. Of course he understands marriage. Of course he does. You see, he is not our reflection. We are his reflection. And now, what is this? What is this place? Who are we? We are the bride of Christ. Bought with his blood. Does Jesus understand what it means to have children? Of course he does. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, we have been adopted in the family of God. So does Jesus understand children who are wayward? Of course he does. Every time you and I turn away from following Jesus Christ, we are being wayward children. We're being disobedient. So when you come to him and say, I pray for my child, I pray for my son and my daughter, God, get their attention. He knows, because he has to do that with you. He has to do that with me.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. While Jesus was fully God, he was also fully man. He knew what it was to be hungry or tired, to be lonely or to feel pain. We can take comfort in knowing that Jesus understands exactly what we're dealing with, and he's faithful to see us through. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.